What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. Today, I'm streaming to you from the Napoleon Hill Room.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
Hey, what's up, everyone? So, I think I told you guys in the last episode or so how I basically bought like 2,000 or 3,000 books, all in personal development, and we had moved into this separate office while we're building our future library. And what's cool about this is now they're in this little office with no windows or anything, and all the books are here, and they're out, and I've decided I'm going to start coming here every morning for the first 2 or 3 hours a day and working inside of here, which is cool because it's giving me a chance to sit down and write the book. But also inside of that is to be able to, like, as I'm writing the book, I have all the greatest personal development books of all time sitting here. I can go look at it. I can read it. I can flip through the old magazines. I can, like, get inspiration from Napoleon Hill himself and a bunch of other cool things. So I'm really, really enjoying this and kind of geeking out. And also, I would do a podcast from here. Hope you don't mind. Because there's so many things I'm thinking about and talking about in my head that are going crazy. But I had one this weekend that was huge that I want to share with you guys. And so this is interesting because I wish you had context. I wish all of you guys were in Mexico with us at the Two Comma Club X Inner Circle / Category King Mastermind Meetup because we had such a good time. But I had a chance to do this one presentation, which will become chapter one of the book, by the way. So when you get the book someday, you have a chance to go through this exercise. I'm not going to walk you through the whole thing, but it's been interesting because as I've been creating this whole thing with success and like how do you achieve what you want to, it's fascinating to me because there's all these things, right? There's always like levers we can pull on and we can do and we can tweak. And but we start looking at it, there's like, this is me jumping around. I did a really interesting call with Tom Bilyeu and he like took me down this path and I talked to this guy named Tal Tesfaye, who's the owner of the Ayn Rand Foundation, the CEO of the Ayn Rand Foundation. And all these other people, and I just keep, like, all these pieces, like, are starting to connect for me, and it's just, like, so fascinating, so exciting. But anyway, sorry, I tell you this, because one of the big things, like, that, you know, we talk about beliefs and rules and values and identity, and there's all these different pieces that are around there, but I never knew how to, like, glue them all together, and what was first, and what was second, and the chicken and the egg, and all these kind of things, right? But one of my big realizations that I figured out before the Mastermind event in Boise, or in Mexico, was that it all starts with our values. But for a long time, I was like, okay, what does that mean? Like, what are values? Like, I don't even, like, things that are valuable, things that I value. And it wasn't until I talked to Tal, and he's the CEO of the Ayn Rand Foundation. Ayn Rand's the one who wrote Atlas Shrugged and, you know, Fountainhead and all those, you know, amazing books. But anyway, I talked to him and he told me about this exercise he does with people because Ayn Rand's big on values. Like, that's like the leading thing she talks about. And I was like, how do you explain her? How do you understand it? And so he said, what I do is, like, if you understand values are something that aren't like a conscious thing, right? It's something subconsciously is happening that makes your brain, he called it the black box inside your brain, happy, right? And he's like, most people don't know what that is. Like, we just are walking our life bumping into things, hoping that, you know, we'll be successful and be happy. And he said that Ayn Rand said that if we were to, I think he said, like, if we spent 5% of our life looking introspectively at ourselves and our own mind, that we'd be a society or a nation of giants or something crazy like that. And so his whole thing is, like, we had to look inside, like, what is the thing that actually make you happy? And so he invented this exercise that we did with our group. He said, you create a value galaxy. So he had everybody, at the event, I gave everyone this big little thing of sticky notes. I said, okay, what are the things you value, these things that make you happy? So it could be anything from, like, reading a book or eating sushi or going on a date or making out or, you know, like, winning a wrestling match. Like, what are all the things that bring you happy? Like, seeing my kids, like, you know. And so I gave them, like, 15 minutes to write down as many values as they can think, anything that makes them happy, like, just write those things down. And everyone wrote on these sticky notes. We stick them on the little board and, you know, within 15, 20 minutes, everyone had, you know, 100 different values. It's like, these are all the things you value. I said, how many of you guys, when you were doing that, you had these new ahas of, like, I didn't realize, I forgot about that. I forgot about this. The things I value, but I totally forgot about them. I'm not doing them. I'm not spending time in them. And I think everyone, including me, had that kind of that epiphany of, like, oh my gosh, like, all these things I actually value that I'm not focusing on, right? And then the next thing is, he said, okay, this, you know, Tal said, this is your value galaxy. And he said, from here, we're gonna, you got to figure out, like, what are the value themes? Like, if you look at all these sticky notes, like, they're probably grouped together in themes, right? Like, all these 10 or 15 are all kind of, like, related to my family or related to my mission or related to whatever those things are, right? So he said, let's take this value galaxy and build it and, like, move the sticky notes around to value themes. So we created some value themes, and we're done. Everyone had 5 or 6 value themes. And these value themes were really cool because they were very much like, here's the, you know, the, I value my family, I value religion, I value personal development, like whatever your things are, right? And it's interesting because, like, the values are what drive us, right? Like, that's the things that actually make us happy. Like, it's not the goal that makes us happy, it's the value. It's like the pursuit and the achievement of the value. And then from there, we did a bunch of other cool exercises that I'm not going to talk about on this podcast, but we did some other cool things with everyone in Mexico. And then from there, we, like, looked at the 5 or 6 value themes that people had. And from the value themes, they picked one value theme that was most important to them right now in their life. Like, maybe it's business, or maybe it's family, maybe it's sports or whatever, like picking that one value theme and then setting your goal around that one thing. And it was, it was so cool. But the big epiphany I had that was fascinating to me is, you know, I'm always trying to figure out, like, how do I help my kids be amazing people? And how do I get them to, you know, how do I get my kids to do what I want them to do? That's not what I'm saying, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that I believe, that I value, that I want my kids to value as well, right? Like, my faith, my work ethic, my, you know, like, these things I value, that I want my kids to value too. And it's interesting because most of us, including me, for a long time, until yesterday, but we try to, like, force our kids to value what we value, right? But we don't know we're doing that. So instead, what we do is we set these rules and these guidelines. And we force them to do this, and we, like, demand them to do this. And we're trying to get them to do what we want them to do because we value it and it's important to us. And so we want that to be important to them too. So we're trying to force them. And what's interesting is that, like, forcing people to have the same value as you, literally in most cases, repels them and makes them not want to have that value. But instead, it's like, how do I inspire them to want to have that value? Like, for my kids, for example, when I'm like, you have to go to church, you have to read the scriptures, you have to blah, 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 like, you know, because I want them to value that, that's going to push them away fast. Instead, like, how do I create it so they actually value it? Like, how do I create experiences and something so cool that they're like, oh my gosh, like, I value this too. And you don't do it by demanding them or forcing them or setting up rules that keep them do it. Instead, you do it by inspiration. Like, how do I show them how this is actually valuable in my life? How can I show it's valuable in their life? And if I can get them to experience it or to see it or whatever, then they'll value it. And after they value it, it's everything will take care of itself, right? Now they value it. They're gonna do the things they need to have that in their life. But if I'm not careful, like me or you or any of us are going to pull them off the tracks by trying to you know, force these values on people or force your values on people. Instead, it's like I need to create an environment where they see why it's valuable, and then all of a sudden it becomes valuable to them. That becomes a value to them. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but like, I'm freaking out, like having this epiphany of like, oh my gosh, like I've been doing parenting wrong. I've been doing all these things wrong my whole life. Cause now it's like, oh, this is the key, is helping them to value it, not to force them to do it or to set up rules or whatever. It's getting them to value it. And when you ask that question, it gives you a whole different answer, right? Now it's like, well, I need to show them the value of praying. Like, let me show them the miracles that happen in my life and their, like, miracles happen in their life, and let me help them to understand it so they can see it, and then they're going to start valuing it, right? Let me show them the value of church. Like, church can be so boring most of the time. Like, how do I make it, like, valuable? Like, let me show them, if I can show them the value that I get out of it, and then they'll be more likely to value it, right? Or and you create experiences that they do value it, you know? And so, anyway, that was my big epiphany. It was just like, okay, and it becomes, at least in my head, this is way more fun of a game. This is a more fun way. This is a more fun game. It's how to create those kind of things. And so it was really cool. I had a mini experience yesterday with it that was kind of interesting. Like, by default, this is kind of something I think broken inside my head, maybe. A lot of you guys know, like, I was a wrestler. I'm you know, a good athlete and things like that. But it was interesting because I wasn't like, I have friends who were just always active. They're running, they're doing stuff, and that wasn't me. In fact, when I was wrestling, I would try not to move the entire day. I would just, like, store up all my energy, and then at wrestling practice, I'd go crazy for 2 or 3 hours. I'd go crazy in the weight room, and then I would, like, not move again. I'd sit home and just watch TV or not move. And my life nowadays is similar. Like, I don't do a lot unless I'm going to go do something, and if I do, I, like, go hardcore, right? So that's like, I don't just, Like, I know if I'm gonna work out, like, I have to shower afterwards because I'm gonna be a mess, right? And so I step back and, you know, like, I wouldn't jog from my office to my house. I would never do that. Like, if I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna drive home, I'm gonna get my change clothes, I'm gonna go super hardcore for an hour, and then I'm gonna be done. And so a lot of times, unfortunately for my kids, I fall in this rut of, like, you know, we're after church, whatever, we're home, and we're like, okay, what are we gonna do? And it's just like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, my brain, I just want to, like, not do anything. And so, like, we default to that. And, but I do value exercise. I do value doing things. But in my head, that's not my default, right? And so yesterday, one of our kids' friends came over. And she's a super cool girl. Really enjoy having her over. And you can tell her and her family, they value, like, outside activities. And so they're there, and they're like, hey, you know, my son's with her, and like, hey, do you guys want to go outside and play bubble soccer, and we can play these things? And my first default's like, no, I don't want to. So, like, I literally kind of, like, I didn't say no, but I was just like, oh, maybe, and I kind of snuck away and laid down for a little bit, because I was tired, right? And then I had this epiphany, I'm like, if I want my kids to value outdoors and exercise and activities, I need to value it. If they don't see me value it, then they're not going to either. And I was like, okay, so I got up, got dressed, and I was like, all right. And it was crazy. They'd already gone outside. And so I ran out there with them. And I got the other kids out there, and we ended up playing for like 3 or 4 hours. We had so much fun exercising and running and playing games. And when it was done, in my head, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, they saw that I value this, and they had a good time, so they're going to value it. And then they're more likely to go and do these kind of things more in the future and with their kids and things like that. And I'm like, that's how we create change. Anyway, so there's your exercise for all of you guys. Go sit down, figure out your value galaxy, building the value themes, and look at the values that you want your kids to have, or you want your employees to have, that maybe they don't have right now, and then not force them into it, but how do you inspire them to create that as a value that'll be exciting and change their life as well. So there you go. Hope that helps. Hope it gets you excited. Got me excited. I'm still, like, just freaking out because I'm so excited by it. So I appreciate you all for listening, and we'll talk to you guys all again soon. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. If you've loved this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and post it to Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you post stuff, and be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode and what you'd like to hear in the future. That'll help me to know what to create for you. Also, Dan Kenny and I would love to give you the most incredible free gift ever, designed to help you make maximum money in minimum time. And this free gift comes with almost $20,000 worth of pure money-making information for free, just for saying maybe. You can get this gift from Dan and from me right now at nobsletter.com. Not only are you going to get the $20,000 gift, you're also going to get a subscription to 2 marketing newsletters that will be hand-delivered by the mailman to your mailbox each and every month, one from Dan Kennedy and one from me. To get this gift and your subscription, go to nobsletter.com right now.